relevance of your word for us today. Help us to hear you. Help us to be open to the workings of your Holy Spirit within us and through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. There's no two ways about it, but Jesus' words are shocking. They are intended to shock. But hate? Is that what Jesus is talking about? Surely the rest of his message has been a message of love. Jesus' greatest commandment has been about love of God, love of neighbour, love of self. Where does hate come into it? The purpose of Jesus' words is actually to make us sit up and think. To have serious consideration as to what it means to follow him. What it means to be a disciple. Every aspect of daily life is affected by the decision to follow Jesus. In this context, Jesus speaks of family, father, mother, children, brothers and sisters, but still to hate family. That definitely seems to go against all the rest of Jesus' teaching. And then he goes on to say, to hate life itself. Today, family and life may still resonate with us, but perhaps Jesus would add also money, status, possessions, power, influence. I think the question that Jesus is asking is this: what does it mean for us to live as his followers today? As the people of God in 2019, living in this rich part of the world, how do we live out every aspect of life in accordance with Jesus' teaching? It would seem to be particularly relevant for us as a nation when we live in a time of political uncertainty with a crisis over Brexit. I don't know what your response has been with all that's been written in the newspapers, on the TV, on the radio, the debates and discussions that perhaps you've been part of. We live in uncertain times. It's easy to feel, see and participate and in an environment where hatred is the dominant feature. How we as Christians should be responding. Paul's letter to Philemon speaks into this situation and demonstrates the way in which our Christian faith is lived out in actually a very practical way. Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, must have encountered Philemon, who in turn comes to accept Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. Philemon, we know, is a man of wealth and influence. We know that because he has a house of some size to accommodate a house church. Now, this wasn't an uncommon way in which groups of Christians met. They met together to worship, share time together, fellowship with one another, and to eat together. In another of Paul's letters, there was instructions about how this should be. Encouraging equality and love to be hallmarks of their worship. Philemon was able to use his house in this way as a demonstration of his understanding of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And Paul encourages Philemon in verse 5 and 6 when he says that he's heard about the love which Philemon witnesses to. He says, I hear about your love for all his people, and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Philemon, he's able to share his home, to partner with Paul and therefore with Jesus. Jesus is his motivation for this act of service. Philemon shares his home and through this is able to share the love he has for Jesus with those around him. This act of service for Jesus is a benefit for the rest of the followers of Jesus. It's also a witness to those who have not yet encountered Jesus. The relevance for us can be in sharing in what we have and who we are with those around us, our fellow Christians, but also those who do not share our faith. At this time, this needs to be part of our response to the current situation. Whatever our views as may be as Christians, our starting point, love of God, leads us to act in ways which are truthful, honest, and loving. There's no problem with debate, but it's not the same as attack. Disagreement with one another will happen, but that does not and must not stop us from love. The love Jesus demonstrates for each of us is not dependent on fitting a ready-made mould, or either looking like this, or having this particular quality, or the ability to carry out this task. God's love is indiscriminate. It's also unconditional and for all. God cannot help but love. Can the same be said of us? So often we place conditions on love. We will only love as long as there is a return or a benefit to us. We'll love those who are like us or who agree with us. What a witness it can be of God's love if, when as a divided nation, we as Christians were to demonstrate the love we share for God and neighbour. For us to be in partnership with God and other Christians, even if there are things on which we disagree. Now, Philemon was a slave owner, and this gave him certain rights over his slaves. In many senses, the slave was no more than an object, something of use, who could be commanded to carry out his master's wishes. As an object, the only value a slave had was in what they were able to do. Who they were as people was of no value at all. It's interesting to note that Philemon's slave's name, Onesimus, means useful. If we talk of someone as being useful, it's often in the sense of what we can gain from them or what they can do. Purpose is to enable us to be able to have more, or to have power, or to benefit from them. For Onesimus, who may well have been very useful to Philemon as a slave, has done what a slave is not permitted to do. He's left Philemon, run away, and so is no longer useful. At the time in which Paul was writing, this could quite easily have led to death for Onesimus. To desert his master was an offence punishable by death. Onesimus somehow ends up with Paul, and in the process, his status has changed. Paul describes him as a brother, the slave of Philemon, yes, but a brother. And Onesimus, like Paul and Philemon, have come to know Jesus, become to be a follower of his. In a human sense, Onesimus remains a slave. In God's kingdom, his status has changed. Onesimus is now a brother of Paul, but also a brother of his human master, Philemon. Therefore, in a sense, they are now equal. Under God as Father, Paul, Philemon, Onesimus, you and I are brothers and sisters. Our Heavenly Father loves his children with a love which is unending and perfect. There's no favoritism or conditionality. It is pure love. So Paul encourages Philemon to accept Onesimus as his brother and to take him back based on God's love. It may have been quite difficult for Philemon, but we can find it difficult to love. Perhaps there have been people who we don't agree with, their politics, lifestyle, attitude, or manner. Or people may have hurt us in such a way that it seems impossible to turn our hurt and hate to love. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus on the cross enables us to receive and know the love of God for ourselves. It's the place where we as brothers and sisters are shown unconditional love. It does not place us in a list of worthiness or a lottery of how much we receive. We are loved. That is the beginning and the end. God's love for us should lead us to demonstrate to those around us the love Jesus has for the world. At this time, our nation is desperately in need of love. We need to be a people who are active demonstrators of his love. Over this next week, as we hear on the news, read in the papers, have conversations with others about the political situation, may the love of God be at the very centre of who we are. The Bishop of Croydon, Bishop Jonathan, has issued a letter to the clergy encouraging us to use a particular prayer over these next few days and weeks. It's the prayer that is used every day in Parliament, asking for God's presence and spirit to be at work. And then Susie's going to put the letter on the board, and perhaps we could actually send it out with the actual prayer. It would be good to send that out so that we could also be joining with others, Christians around the nation, as we continue to pray for our ministers, our MPs, our media, as well as they report, for ourselves, for our friends and neighbours, as for some it's such an important issue where they need to talk about it. There's that thing about complacency amongst ourselves as well, that perhaps we need to be involved. We're going to use that prayer now as we pray for God's presence, for his love. Lord, the God of righteousness and truth, grant to our Queen and her government, to members of Parliament and all in positions of responsibility, the guidance of your Spirit. May they never lead the nation wrongly through love of power, desire to please, or unworthy ideals, but laying aside all private interests and prejudice, keep in mind their responsibility to seek to improve the condition of all humanity. So may your kingdom come and your name be hallowed. Amen.